we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Wednesday morning to you, Brevard County. Thanks for tuning into the Refresh Radio broadcast right here on WMIE, brought to you by the wonderful saints at Merritt Assembly of God and anybody else that God lays upon their heart to help support this radio ministry. We say thank you to each and every one of you. If you would like, we're going to be having a special time of prayer here in a couple of weeks. And so I want to just put this out there to you now. If you would like for us to be praying specifically with you about something, then send us an email at merrittassembly@hotmail.com, merrittassembly@hotmail.com. Or send us a message on Facebook, or you can call us at 321-454-4263 and leave that message on the answering machine. And here in a couple of weeks, I'll let you know what day it's going to be, but we will be having a special prayer broadcast here on the radio program. And so if you would like to be a part of that, contact us in one of those three ways, and we will be more than thrilled to pray with you and believe God for the miracles that you need to see come to pass in your daily life. So want to say thank you today to Creative AC Solutions, 759-3284, area code 321-759-3284. If you have found yourself, like we did a couple of weeks ago, with your air conditioner, I walked in the door and I said, there is something not right about that, about the air conditioner. And Bill Andriak, he's the person there at Creative AC Solutions. And I tell you what happened was I called him, and I expected that, you know, he would probably come out. But instead, he helped me out in a different way. And so I want to encourage you, if you are looking for someone who is not just looking to take a customer for as much money as they can get, but instead treat them with respect, with expertise, with courtesy, and will provide for you the solution that you need and give you the advice on what is the best route to go this way forward, give Bill Andriak a call, 321-759-3284, 321-759-3284. It is family night at Merritt Assembly of God. Tonight, our facility gets used to a greater extent than it does on Sunday morning. Tonight, we will have food that begins to serve to the kids ministry. That'll begin at 6 o'clock. 6:30, their opening session will start. And then about 6:45, they will break into their classes. We will have classes upstairs. We will have classes downstairs. We'll have classes in ushers' rooms. We'll have classes in the nursery. We will have all sorts of classes going on. And then at 7 o'clock, our adult prayer and Bible study will begin at 7 in the sanctuary. We have a time of praise and worship. We have a time of prayer, intercession, believing for God, and then we have a time in the Word. So if you would benefit from something like that, we would love to have you come out and be a part of that. And we do want to take this opportunity to invite you. This is week 4 of our celebration. First of all, it started with Memorial Day, then it went to Pentecost Sunday, then it went to our 65th anniversary weekend, which was last weekend, and then we go on to Father's Day this weekend, and I will After I preach that message on Sunday, I will have the privilege of going and spending a few days with my father and get to hang out with him and my mom and some of my family and share a message at my home church that I grew up in. They just celebrated their 50th anniversary a week before we celebrated our 65th. And so it's going to be a great honor for me where I will get to present the Word of God, preach the Word of God, and my pastor that I grew up under, I will get to spend some time with him. So enough about that. If there's anything that you've heard on here that sounds enticing to you, we would love for you to come out and join us for a time of worship. We are believing for a harvest of souls. So as I was preparing to preach for Pentecost Sunday, in the biblical terms, it's called the Feast of Weeks in the Old Testament. It would be seven weeks plus one day after the Passover. And I realized that they celebrated because the crop or the produce of the land, they generally had a harvest of seven different things. It began with barley, and it ended with wheat, and there was pomegranates and olives and dates and figs and grapes that were in there. And so on Pentecost Sunday, when they were already celebrating that and they were remembering the word, they discovered that there was also an eighth harvest in the land. And that was a harvest of souls, a harvest of men and women whom the Holy Spirit had brought to that place of repentance so that God could bring them to a place of fruitfulness. And so we are praying at Merit Assembly of God that we will have a harvest, not just a financial harvest, not just a harvest of watermelon and tomatoes and corn and wheat and all of the things that come along in the land, but that we would see here in Brevard County a harvest of souls, that it would not be okay for people from Brevard County to die and not spend eternity with Jesus. So that's where we're at. Let's get into Isaiah, the 66th chapter today, and look at the Word of God. Now, yesterday we had been in this passage, and I touched on a few things a little bit. I'm going to go back and elaborate on some of those a little bit more today. Verse number, Isaiah chapter 66. Let me go ahead and read verses 1 through 4. It says, "Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word. He who kills a bull as if he slays a man, he who sacrifices a lamb as if he breaks a dog's neck, he who offers a grain offering as if he offers swine's blood, he who burns incense as if he blesses an idol. Just as they have chosen their own ways and their souls delight in their abominations, so will I choose their delusions and bring their fears on them. Because when I called, no one answered. When I spoke, they did not hear. But they did evil before my eyes and chose that in which I do not delight." Now, I want to explain to you that God is not saying here in the third verse that the people should not offer sacrifices and offerings and tithes. It's saying that they were doing it with the wrong attitude. They were not doing it to please God, and we'll see that here in just a little bit. They had a heart that was more attracted to idol worship than they were to worship of the Lord God. And the reason for that is they wanted to choose their own ways. The children of Israel had this remarkable distinction. When they came out of Egypt, God chose them to be his special people, the people through which he would bring Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, into this world. They were supposed to have a mark of distinction in that they were not the only nation that was going to serve God, but that they were the first nation that was going to serve God, that they would be known as His nation, not just one of the nations. They would be known as His. They would have the privilege and the honor of knowing God long before we did, and they brought through the ministry of the Holy Spirit all that we have in the Law and the Prophets. It was all given through the men of old as the Holy Spirit moved upon them. But people just don't like to be different. They don't like to be distinct. We have this group mindset that if we don't fit in with the rest of the group, then there must be something wrong with us. I remember an episode from the Twilight Zone a long, long, long time ago. It was the black and white episode. During this particular one, there was this lady that was described as being just horrifically ugly. They had isolated her because they had convinced her that she was just this grotesque creature. And you go all through this episode and you're wondering what's going on. And then at the end of the episode, when they finally have the great reveal, you realize that according to the world standards, she would be the one that is absolutely stunningly beautiful, and that all of the rest of them, I believe they had like pig faces or something like that, or pig snouts, and they, because they were in the majority, had deemed that this one who, according to the world standards, was very beautiful, they had deemed her ugly because she did not fit in with the group. I don't know about you, but I would rather be the Joshua and the Caleb who are distinct from the rest of the people because they believe in the God that they have experienced. They have seen His power. They believe His promise. And so there was that. And so the children of Israel, they, even though they were that nation of distinction, they wanted to be like the other nations. I was reading in my Bible last year, and I mean, it's not that I don't read my Bible, I do, but I saw something last year that I'd never seen before, where it described that the reason that the children of Israel wanted Saul as king was not just because they wanted to be like the other nations, but it was also because they were afraid. I believe the guy's name was Nahash the Ammonite. That threatened the people of the city, and God moved mightily through the life of Saul, and that was what launched him into prominence as the king. So look here, and it says, verse number 4, it says, "And bring their fears on them." And what I have written down here today is that idol worship is due to fear and anxiety and uncertainty. It's linked to, I want to be just like everybody else. I don't want to pay the price of holiness. And I want you to know that holiness has great benefits. Whatever you put in, whatever the price you pay to walk in holiness, you will reap exponential dividends in return of that. So I want to challenge you, don't run away from holiness. Don't run away from God. Don't try and reduce yourself to be just like everybody else on the planet when God has created you to be spectacular, a magnificent demonstration of His craftsmanship, that He is a maestro. He is superior in all that He does. And so it says here, in verse number 3, "Just as they have chosen their own ways and their soul delights in their abominations, so will I choose their delusions. And then at the end of verse 4, and chose that in which I do not delight. Today, I want to talk to you about choices, because God has given you and I a free will. Now, I do not see that God's gift of free will is in any way a threat to his sovereignty. God is sovereign. I happen to pastor the church, and so there are certain things that I will delegate to people, and I try to delegate things to people who are going to be better at it than I do. We have had a transition in our youth and children's ministry, and we have put that into hands of people in the congregation, and I will tell you, they do a better job at it than I do. I was a youth pastor. They're better at being youth pastor. I've done children's ministry a little bit, but the Sunday morning children's ministry team and the Wednesday night children's ministry team, those two teams are going to do phenomenal. And so if you want your children raised up in the ways of God, I want to invite you out to our Wednesday services, to our Sunday services. We've got some exciting things that are coming this summer, and we're believing that we're going to see our kids and youth ministries elevated to new heights. I led worship at our church for a number of years. I was the weakest link, if you remember that game show. I've got no internal rhythm, which is really kind of funny, because I do like to play golf, and you have to swing in tempo and all of that. But I had to use external actions in order to keep the clock in my head so that I would know when I would come in and when I... We had wonderful, wonderful musicians, fantastic musicians. Some, even though they were just young, in fact, at my son's wedding, they began to reminisce, and they said, you know what? Our worship team was pretty good. And then they all say, except for Pastor Bob. and so I was the weakest link. Now I have a worship leader, and she doesn't have the musicians. Not that we don't want them. We have a piano player, and we accentuate that with a software program that allows us to customize whether we're singing the verse or the chorus. It's like a band in a box. And so we've had to adapt and overcome, but she's better at that than I am. And so that's what I like to surround myself with. And as a result of that, I delegate to them the ability to make decisions on their own. The sovereignty of God says, I am looking for a relationship with men, with women, with boys and girls, where they are not serving me because I have told them that they have to, but they are actually making a choice that they want to serve me. Life is filled with decisions. You made a choice today to listen to this broadcast. You made a choice today to get up out of bed. You made a choice today to practice personal hygiene. You made a choice today to be functional in society and be a blessing to your employer. There are a lot of choices that you make. You make a choice to shoot your mouth off, or you make a choice to keep your tongue in peace. The Bible says even a fool demonstrates wisdom when he keeps his mouth shut. And so there are a lot of choices to make. These people made choices where they chose their way over God's way. They chose delusion over truth. And they chose things that did not please God. There were a lot of choices. And what God has said in this passage is, I'm going to respond to them in the manner in which they have chosen. I tell people that come to church that you are the one that gets to decide at what level of relationship we have. And so there are a lot of people, I describe it this way. There are a lot of people that I've met through the years that are comfortable waving at you if they see you in the mall, or if they see you in Walmart, if they see you on the sidewalk. They're comfortable waving at you and saying, hey, I see you and you see me. Everything's good. But that level of relationship wouldn't work for my wife and I. And so we've made a choice to be husband and wife for over three decades now. We make a choice on a daily basis that we are going to continue in that way, that we are going. Listen, I did a vow renewal here a week and a half ago or so. And as they were doing their vow renewal, it was a surprise to the wife. It was their 10th wedding anniversary. And the husband had set this up from another state. And in their vows, I noticed something. They said, "This day I vow to forgive just as you forgive me. Or forgive just as I'm going to need to be forgiven by you. I choose to honor you. I choose to respect you." And it was, they were making choices that day. And so I made just a small little list of things that God says with the choices that you make, that's the way that I'm going to choose. And so he says, if you will draw near to me, I will draw near to you. Drawing near to God is a choice. And today I want to encourage you, make the choice to draw near to God early. When I think of drawing near to God, I think of a little child with their parent, and all of a sudden, if they get into a situation where there seems to be a threat, there seems to be a little bit of uncertainty, maybe there is a lack of familiarity, that child makes a choice to get really close to mom or to get really close to dad. And I want to encourage you today to draw near to God. Make the choice to draw near to God, because when you do draw near to God, he will draw near to you. There is also the decision to forgive. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. And Jesus said that if we will choose to forgive, that we will be forgiven in the same measure or the same manner in which we have forgiven others. And there's a parable where a guy had a huge, impossible to repay debt, and it was forgiven because he asked. And then he went out and he found somebody that owed him a very small sum of money, and he refused to forgive him. And all of a sudden, the person that he owed the debt to came back and said, "We're going to have to revisit this, and you are now going to repay everything you owed me. Your choices have not been good. I chose to forgive you a very large debt, and you chose to deliver a person into jail because they owed you a very small debt." So I want to encourage you today, wipe the slate clean. I tell our church that every day can be a year of jubilee where debts are canceled. All you've got to do is make the declaration. Say, "God, we wipe the slate clean. We forgive. We forgive." And people say, "Well, how many times should I forgive?" Well, you should read the Bible and see what Jesus has to say about it, because Peter asked the same question, and he thought he was being generous when he said, "Can I forgive them seven times and then I'm good to punch them in the nose?" He didn't exactly say punch in the nose, but his thing was, is there a boundary at which point in time I say, "Okay, I'm not forgiving anymore"? And so make a choice to forgive. Now, the Bible also says, "With whatsoever measure you use, that will be the measure that is used for you." Now, my favorite understanding, "Shall men give back into your bosom, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over." That could be positive or that could be negative. You have to decide. My favorite demonstration of this is a bag of potato chips. Back a long, long time ago, they used to put these really large bags of potato chips, and there would be a disclaimer down on the bottom. It said, "Sold by weight, not by volume." Now they look at it and say, "You know what? I wonder if we can accomplish that same thing, get more product on the shelves, sell more bags of potato chips." And so If you opened that great big bag, you'd look in there and you would see potato chips down about a third or a half of the bag. And so when God first gave me this revelation on this passage, I took that bag of potato chips and I opened it up. I took an identical bag and a couple of bags, and I pulverized those chips. I just crushed them to where they'd make a good casserole topping. And you'd be amazed at how many bags of chips you could get into that one bag when you were operating by volume, not by weight. You see, that's, we measure out by weight, not by volume, and God returns unto us good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. He pours back. And so here in this passage, it talks about they chose delusion, and so I'm going to bring their delusions to pass. They chose that which delighted them but did not delight me. They made bad choices. You know, Pharaoh, when the children of Israel were trying to get him to release them, in Exodus chapter 8, verse number 9, Moses told Pharaoh that it would be given unto him the privilege of deciding the timing of when that particular plague would be broken. And today I want to let you know that if you will choose Jesus today as your Lord and as your Savior, if you will choose him to forgive you of your sins, and you will choose to release others who have wronged you and hurt you, and if you will make the choice today for God, I can tell you this, your life will be markedly different. So make the choices today to do things God's way, not your way. Make choice today to draw near to God. Make a choice today to forgive those who have hurt you. Make a choice today to say, God, you know, I'm going to use this measure here. This is how I want people to treat me. And so this is how I want to treat other people, God, because that's the way I want you to treat me. And so I pray today that you will make good, godly choices. Father, today we choose to draw near to you. Lord, we don't know what the day holds, but you do. But we do know that this is the day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. We choose to honor you as holy. We choose to exalt your word in our hearts and in our lives. We choose to celebrate and give thanks to you, for you are worthy to be praised. Today, O God, we choose to treat others with love and respect. And God, we know this. You are going to order our steps and direct our paths. God bless you. Thank you for making a godly choice. We'll see you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."